Well, you brought some music with you.
I did.
That you brought some music with you that has Elvin playing on it. And let's see, who else is on that?
Well, I have a couple of things, but the one I have is that's probably really good to hear is a tune called Black Nile. It's a Wayne Shorter album called Night Dreamer. And let me see, who is on it? I think Wynton Kelly is on it. Is that right? Wait, oh no, I have the wrong thing. Who is on it?
Lee Morgan.
McCoy Tyner, for sure. Is it Lee Morgan? Lee Morgan and Elvin plays one of those incredible elastic solos. He takes a whole chorus solo, that which is one exact chorus, you know.
Okay.
And that's my whole thing about, you know, anything that Elvin ever played, none of it's ever jive. You know, it's not like, okay, give the drummer, and when he's ready, we come back. Never. It's always like the form of the tune. It's always the chorus, or if you want to break it up, whatever way, eighths, whatever, you know, fourth, mm-hmm. of course. But he could play choruses like as good as anybody.
Okay. Well, why don't we listen to some? And that was Black Nile, featuring Elvin Jones on drums, Reggie Workman on bass, Lee Morgan on trumpet, Wayne Shorter on tenor saxophone, and McCoy Tyner doing piano work.
It was McCoy, right? It was the bass player. I couldn't think of Reggie.
Yeah.
Workman.
And stuff that John Trenacosta brought in. So you brought some other music in as well, and let's listen to maybe another drummer. You mentioned Philly Joe being somebody that... was a big influence on your life.
Tour de force.
Yes. Yeah.
Philly Joe. Philly is interesting in that he comes out of the swing era in his style. Well, in his sound, for one thing. He uses big drums. So one of the things that happens in the bebop era is that everybody starts using small drums like this, you know, a real small bass drum, because they start using the bass drum as another voice, you know, high-pitched drums. And... whereas in the swing era, it's big drums, you know, the big bottom thing. Well, certainly in my mind, Philly is one of the greatest bebop drummers. And there are other people I know, you know, that's arguable, of course, and that really get more credit. Well, they you know, like Max, of course, is nothing to take away from Max by any means. But he had the gig, you know, he had the gig with Bird. And so, of course, he's going to be the
right,
bebop drummer, right?
Right?
But Philly... was like the house drummer for Blue Note, man, all the way through the 50s on everybody's first record. I think he has a record of being the drummer on most people's first debut album for Blue Note. So Philly is using a bop drummer stylistically, but he's got an old swing sound, big drums, a real... an incredible ride cymbal, meaning an incredible beat, not the, you know, the physical piece of metal, but the beat, just relentless.
Okay.
You know, does not let up. Plus, he's incredibly melodic. He's got great time, but a great feel, but he's incredibly melodic. You know, he's a heck of a musician, and I remember, I mean, not in any way to slight Eddie Gomez, because I just heard Eddie Gomez back in New York in a few weeks ago, and with Chick Corea and Jack DeJohnette, and Eddie was great. But there's one Bill Evans album I have where The tune is Gone with the Wind. And Philly is Philly Joe, Eddie Gomez, and Bill Evans, of course. And you know, Bill plays, and then he gives it to Eddie Gomez, and Eddie plays the solo, and then Philly plays a two-chorus solo that's more melodic than anything that Eddie Gomez played on the drums. I mean, it's honest to God, you know. So Philly is like real melodic, very, very, very melodic, and meaning, you know, he plays in a linear fashion, and he creates this kind of thing playing up and down. Yeah, Val. Oh, you're right. You can't see it.
That's right. Well, we have you have a Philly Joe song that you want to listen to now.
Yeah, I think a great example of the melodic aspect of it. I have two examples. One demonstrates the sheer force and phenomenal technique he has. The other shows his real melodic side. The one that shows his real melodic side is the one, Nuke's Time is the album, Sonny Rollins. He plays Surrey with the Fringe on top, and it's just him and Sonny Rollins, nobody else. It's a duet.
Okay. And that's Sonny Rollins with Philly Joe Jones. You also have some Hank Mobley that you brought with you, too.
Yeah, that shows Philly as the tour de force that he really is. I mean, just hard driving. He opens up. The tune opens up with him, drums up front, you know, and it's an up-tempo tune, and that cymbal beat, and I'm telling you, that backbeat thing that he plays just doesn't let up, and then he plays a great solo on it, too.
Cool. What's the name of the song?
It's the first tune called Workout.
Okay. We'll be right back. Okay. And we're listening to some music that features Philly Joe Jones on drums, Hank Mobley, a tune called Workout, some stuff that that John brought in for us. So, I don't know. Let's see. Where else do we want to try to go with this really quick? Right. Okay. We also brought some of your own music.
Some of my own music.
Yes. You have a, you know, a band that is well known around New Mexico and I think around the region. And, you know, I have a feeling it's probably known even further and wider than that.
Well, a couple of my friends in Staten Island know about it.
There you go. And what's the name of that band?
It's called Straight Up.
Yeah.
I don't know where the name came from. Except I was looking for a name and someone suggested, okay. Kind of indicative of what the music is.
So. Okay. And you've got some real hot players on that with you as well.
It's Arlen Asher. The trumpet player is a friend of mine from New York who keeps coming out to do the recordings and to play with the band as much as he could, and he fell in love with New Mexico as well. And someone who I played with for many, many years. His name is Michael Morreale. And Bob Fox is the piano player and also the composer and arranger. He does the writing, and the last album he wrote almost half the album, and does arrangements really, really well, and a great piano player, and David Parlato mm-hmm. on bass.
All right. So what are we going to listen to from, you've got two albums.
We've got two, right. First one was done in 97. It's called Live Jazz in the Desert, and the second one, last one, was done in 02, I think. Yeah, 02. It's called No Need for Words. And that one features more originals. John Belzica is the bass player on the first one.
Okay.
And he has since moved on to L.A. and is now working with Natalie Cole. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I did hear that.
So David replaced him, David Parlato, and Dave and I have played together since I got here, you know, so it was perfect, mm-hmm. perfect fit. And anyway.
So pick something from, what's the first one, the name of it again? Live Jazz?
Live Jazz in the Desert, yeah. It's actually a live recording is kind of why I called it that. Mm-hmm. It was done without, it was done live. I know we just played in a room, mm-hmm. actually in Los Alamos, and the ranch school there in Los Alamos, that log cabin.
Nice.
And
what should we hear from that one?
First Cuts is a winner. Hopscotch. It's a tune written by Ralph Moore, the saxophone player, who's I think he's still on the Tonight Show, isn't he?
Ralph Moore?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, he was.
Was he?
And what's his name's band? I don't think he was in Branford's band. I think he's in.
He's in Kevin Eubanks' band. Okay.
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. But Ralph Moore, it's his composition. Great tune, Hopscotch. Thank you.
That was Hopscotch from Live in the Desert, John Trenacosta and the band Straight Up. You have the other CD, No Need for Words. What's a good cut to hear from that one?
When Robbie Gets Blue is an original by Bob Fox, and it's a blues, but it sure has some altered changes. It's not that easy to recognize. So that, you know, that's a nice one. But both the ballads, I mean, if you want to go that way, are absolutely beautiful. One features Michael, the trumpet player, and the other one features Arlen, and they're beautiful too. So, you know.
Which one do you think we should play?
Well, you know, it's not about hearing me, right?
It's about you, man.
It's about me.
It's about you.
Well, I put the band together. You know, but, all right. Well, the first one is really a good tune. It's really, actually, I won 2 awards at the New Mexico Music Industry Mic Awards for this first tune.
Okay.
And it's called When Robbie Gets Blue.
And that's When Robbie Gets Blue, a little bit of the song from the band Straight Up, John Trenacosta. So what sort of future plans do you have being in New Mexico? I mean, what's going on in the future?
Well, I got an 8-month-old little girl.
Really? Well, that's...
I'm a late bloomer, man.
Good for you.
Yeah, well,
congratulations.
Just, I'm gone, too. I'm just like totally flipped.
Good for you.
Yeah, that's great. Really great.
What's her name?
Her name is Gina Marie.
All right.
Gina Marie. Wow. And she's already playing the piano. Well, she sits on my lap at the piano, keyboard, and you know,
there
she bangs a whole bunch of keys down.
She's getting ready.
But she loves it. She really loves it. And I sing to her all the time and dance with her all the time.
Oh.
carry around dancing. Yeah, it's really cool.
So that's 18 years from now. That's all, yeah. The next 18 years.
I'm seriously thinking about, I mean, I haven't, you know, made the final, but I'm seriously thinking about doing another straight up recording this summer. We got a gig in Colorado, a jazz festival. So, you know, that might precipitate, although what I want to do would be do it before. And what I really want to do is record it at the Outpost, you know, not with an audience, you know, but use the Outpost and have Manny Rettinger do it.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've heard some of the stuff he's done, and it's really, really good. You know, that live kind of thing, which is what I'm always trying to recreate, you know.
Cool.
Last one was done in the studio. And I was not as happy with it as the first one, which was done live, just to capturing that ambience. And Manny could do that, you know.
Great.
So anyway, you know, that's one thing on the burner. Another thing is I lead a trio up at Bumblebee's in Santa Fe every Saturday night. And it's really called John Trinacosta and Friends,
mm-hmm.
because there's always different people doing it, right? That kind of thing. And the core rhythm section is really John Gagan and Bert Dalton and myself. But everybody does it, you know, a lot of guys. And Kenny DeVern comes up once a month and does it. People like Howard Alden have come in and done it. And anybody who's traveling through, you know, friends of mine that may come through will do it. You
sure.
know, like Michael Morreale's been, Giacomo Gates, who I had some gigs with, and Giacomo came through and then he did it. And, you know, that kind of thing. Joshua Breakstone. And so what I'm thinking of doing is I propose this to Bumblebee, because he's going to finance it. He'll be the producer, executive producer. And what we want to do is have, you know, live at Bumblebee's. But it won't be done live there. It'll be just, you know, John Trinacosta and Friends live at Bumblebee's, that kind of thing.
Okay.
It'll be done live, but in a better acoustical environment.
Sure.
And have a couple of cuts with everybody. I've already talked to Kenny DeVern, and he'll do a couple of cuts, and Howard Alden will do a couple of cuts. So I'll have, like, all these, you know, different groups.
Nice.
Who do play there, and it should be interesting.
That sounds great.
So that's another one of my projects. And then there's a piano player in Santa Fe who's part-time living there from L.A., a very, very good piano player. His name is John Rangel. And he's, most of his work is in L.A., but when he comes here, I get him work, and we play together a lot. And we got a nice thing going, and he wants to record David Barlotto, myself, and him a trio thing. So, I mean, these are the things that are, like, right now, you know, on the front burner.
Nice.
A lot of work, but, you know, all a lot of work, but it's all worth it.
But it sounds like a lot of love, too, man.
Yeah, well, those things, I mean, the amount of time that I put into those two was just incredible, you know. But you just go. You know how it is.
Yeah.
You just go. Once you go, and then you just go, and you don't stop, and you just hours and hours and hours and hours, and you just don't even know where the time goes.
It feeds you.
Yeah, it does. It
yeah.
really does.
Well, we're gonna kind of close right now, but would you go ahead and play? Do you have something that you play that just makes you feel good?
It all makes me feel good, of course.
Before you get started, let me just say again, we're listening and been talking to John Trinacosta, and my name is David House, and thanks so much for spending the evening with us.
David, thank you so very much. It's been a pleasure, and it's, I just, as I said to you before, I hope I didn't talk too much.
We could talk all night, man.
I could talk all night, though. I just get wound up, and it's really been great.
Great.
Thank you. Okay. Where do we start? There'll be some Elvin in there, and there'll be some Philly in there, and I guess I should. There's one thing that Philly is known for. You know, they call it the Philly Joe backbeat, but again, it's pretty controversial. I guess is whether or not he is the man who really created it. And anyway, that's this thing. I'm sure you've heard it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the backbeat on four.
Nice. Thank you.
You make me jealous.
Oh,
envious.